Okay, it's so good to be here to worship with all of you this morning. Yeah, it's been a while. It was a good break for the month of October. So this morning, and I want to give a big thanks to our worship team for leading us in reverence time of worshiping our Lord. It was wonderful, right? Yes? Praise the Lord. And thank you to our brother Quan Leng to lead us in prayer. And thank you for Dr. Leo and Dr. Irene to share their mission field to us, their mission work with us. It was wonderful to know. I think all of us should take the time to join our next mission trip to Borneo, right, to visit the hospital there. They're doing a wonderful work there. So, and for you who are first time visiting us, and also those who are joining us first time from the live streaming, we are preaching through a series from the book of Jonah. Yeah, this morning we will continue to learn from Jonah chapter 2. The sermon title for this morning is, Can We Truly Hope in God? I'll be using the New King James Version. Yeah, usually I will use NIV. Today I use New King James Version because the translation to the Old Testament is a lot more accurate. Okay, so this morning we will explore three Bible truths from Jonah chapter 2. First, God disciplines those he loves. God saves those who call upon him. God shows mercy to those who turn to him. Yeah, these are very important Bible truths. Let us commit this time to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Father, as we look once again at your words, help us to see and understand your words. Help us to realize your love for us in your discipline and your faithfulness for us even when we are not faithful to you. So, speak to us from your word, O Lord. May your words edify us and magnify your own glory. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray. Amen. Now, please have your Bible open. I shall read from Jonah 2. Hear then the Holy Scripture say. Jonah 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish belly. And he said, I cry out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cry, and you heard me, you heard my voice, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floors surrounded me, all your billows and your waves passes over me. Then I say, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closes around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the mooring of the mountain. The earth with its bark close behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idol forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Jonah and the big fish. Many might have the hard time believe this is a true story. Do you believe this is a true story? Or just another fairy tale story? How many of you believe this is a true story? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's true. You see, After all, how could a man survive after being swallowed by a big fish? However, isn't that Bible full of the true facts that is supernatural? Like a donkey that can talk, Moses parted the Red Sea. Manna fell from heaven to feed the Israelites. The wall of Jericho fall after Israelites walk around the city for 7 days. Elijah called down the fire from heaven. Jesus calmed the storm, healed man with leprosy, and raised death to life. Dr. Leon, you must love this, huh? And Jesus died on the cross and rose again in 3 days. And these are just a few of them. There are more. You see, very often we forgot who we are worshiping. We are worshiping the God that created heaven and earth. Psalm 33, verse 9 told us that we are worshiping the God that spoke, and it was done. And He commanded, and it stood fast. Miracle and supernatural to us is just a normal thing to God. Let us not forget that. Miracle and supernatural to us, it is just a normal thing to God. When we forgot who our God is and what our God can do, then our walk with God would lack of zeal, and we would labor with our own efforts and strength. That's why in the Bible, God showed us all His powerful, miraculous work so that we know who we're worshiping. We know who He is. He is beyond us. He is above us. He can do far more than what we can imagine. Our faith, even our faith, is based on the truth that is supernatural and beyond our human understanding. Do you remember that? Do you remember when you first come to believe, when you first come to choose Him? What do you believe? In order for ourselves to call ourselves Christian, we believe the miracle beyond our understanding. We believe there is a God that created heaven and earth and everything in it, a God that will give you eternal life. We believe Jesus has come to redeem us by dying for us on the cross, and He rose again 3 days later. This is where we place our faith at. Don't forget that. The God that you are worshiping, the God that you believe in, He is the miracle God. He can do all things. He can do all things. There is nothing is impossible for Him. When we believe that, our faith will continue set on Him. Our walk in every day of our life will fill with power, will fill with trust in Him. Our difficulty, our challenge will no longer great because our God is greater. Our God will always be greater than our challenge and our problem. Do you believe that? Amen? So to live our Christian life in this ordinary world, we want to trust and have faith in the miracle performing God. And that is Christian living. Amen? Now, the essential message of Jonah is not about the big fish, nor how he survived in the big fish, nor how to pray powerfully so that God would rescue Jonah out of the big fish. It is about the loving God transform a disobedient child he loved. Out there have a lot of sermon is talking about how powerfully this Jonah prays so that he can get out of the fish. It is not. It is about God transform a disobedient child he loved. The story starts from God given a man who happened to be a prophet to do a job and he refused to do. And this man is Jonah. Not only did he refuse to do what God had told him to do, he tried to run away from the place where God wanted him to go. Jonah, his name means dove, a messenger of peace. But Jonah was not a ready-made or naturally a messenger of peace. Jonah reluctant to do what God has asked him to do. However, as this story goes, the merciful and loving God transformed him to be his faithful messenger of peace. If this is up to us, we will say Jonah is unqualified. Jonah has flaw, right? Jonah cannot do his job. If it's up to us, we will just sack him. But God, take a man which is flawed and transform him to be his messengers of peace. How many of us here this morning can appreciate that? Are you perfect? Are you a perfect Christian? Are you a perfect leader? Are you a perfect worshiper? Are you perfect in what you do? We all have flaw. But our God, with His grace and love, He transformed us to become who He wants us to be. To become who He can use us for His glory. Amen? How amazing is that? When I read to this part, it really brings tears to my eyes. Lord, indeed you are. Very often I come to think of myself and it's like, I always tell to the Lord, Lord, how can I do this job? How can I be a pastor? The standard is too high. I can't do it. I have so much flaw. But the Lord said, are you saying I make you with flaws? Are you saying my calling to you is wrong? Our Lord will transform each one of us to be the person that He can use for His glory. Now, at the time Jonah at the city of Nineveh was built by Nimrod, the people were corrupt, people were proud, and it was sinking in corruption. Prophet Nahum, the prophet who also spoke against Nineveh, called it a bloody city, say it was full of fraud, lie, robbery, sensuousness, violence, witchcraft, and idolatry. And their soldier was famous for their brutality and their cruelty. Now, God wants Jonah to go and preach a message of judgment to Nineveh. So Jonah received the commission from God. You would think, Jonah, who as a prophet would happily obey God and go to Nineveh. But Jonah's response to the commission of God is running away from God. Jonah chapter 1 verse 3 said, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. And Tarshish is at least 2,000 miles away from Nineveh. Jonah really tried hard to run, you see. He went down to Joppa. Right on the seacoast there, he found a ship. And he go into the ship, and he go down deep into the ship. and get ready to sail to Tarshish. He ran from God's will toward the opposite direction. You say, why did he do that? Well, he had a most interesting reason. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 2 say, he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord," this is after Jonah came out from the fish belly, okay, in chapter 4. He said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I flee previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, or it is better for me to die than to live." Can you believe that? Jonah wants to die, and he's so angry at God because God saved the people in Nineveh. So the reason we can tell that Jonah reluctant to go to Nineveh because he does not want God to save those Ninevites. You might ask, why would Jonah think like that? Simple answer. Because Jonah sees them as enemy. And he fell in his righteous heart, you know, in his self-righteous heart, that Nineveh don't deserve to be saved. He felt that Nineveh deserved judgment of God, not salvation. And he has his own little plan for them, despite what God wanted. And so he took off in other direction. And he is not really much different than a lot of Christians today. Can you relate? Who have been called by God to forgive their enemies, to pray for them and bless them, or to serve in the ministry, or to share the gospel, or to share God's love to others, or to show kindness to others, or to join JEM. Instead of going the way God has called them to, they like to hold on to the grudges, plot evil schemes in hatred, and some of them get very, very involved in something else other than the things of God. They focus on their job, their hobby, their own entertainment, their family, and give every excuse so that they become unavailable to God. They run away from God to their own Tarshish. And some of them felt a strong desire in their heart to follow what God commands and to serve. They felt an overwhelming hunger in their heart to move out from their current stage of life into ministry. Maybe even go to mission field. But some very strange reason, the love of money, the love of comfort, or the love of complacency, they are not willing to step out of their faith. They felt more secure being able to count their own eggs in their basket and make sure they are hanging on to everything and not willing to step out and believe in God. They have pulled back, they have hidden from the call of God, and they have, in fact, run from God. Are these people familiar to you? You see, when you run from God, the only direction is going downhill and further away from God's blessing. Jonah ran down to Joppa, and then down to the bottom of the ship, then down to the bottom of the sea. He was so comfortable in the bottom of the ship, sleeping. Indeed, Jonah's heart was sleeping. Jonah's heart was hardened. Jonah's heart was away from God. You know, there's a kind of Christian we call the sleeping Christian. The sleeping Christian. They are the silent partner with God. Okay, I hope not many of us here are the silent partner with God. When we disobey God, we are sinning against God. And our sin will cause our heart goes to sleep. And the longer we sleep, our heart will get even more hardened. We can see from Jonah, Jonah chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship, had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper?" The captain called him sleeper. "Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." Did Jonah ask God for forgiveness or repent even when God bring the storm to wake him up? God bring the storm, shake the boat. Jonah did not wake up. And the captain came to him, wake him up. Did Jonah repent when he saw the storm around him? No, Jonah did not, because his heart was hardened and his heart was still sleeping. Although his body awake, but his heart was continued sleep. And let us continue to look at verse 7 and 8, chapter 1, Jonah chapter 1, okay? "And they say to one another, 'Come, let us cast lot, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come to us.' So they cast lot, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they say to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?'" Even when they cast lot, Jonah would not admit. Jonah would not repent. Jonah would not pray to God. And the sailor had to cast lot to find out it is Jonah. You see? But still, he's not asking for forgiveness, not turn to God in repentance. His heart continued to sleep. And when we go to Jonah chapter 1, verse 9 to 12, we see Jonah tell the sailor that God bring the raging storm because of him. He asked the sailor to throw him into the sea so that the sea will calm down. Can you believe that? Jonah rather die instead of turn to God to ask for forgiveness and repentance. He rather die. That was how far his heart was gone. Let us continue. Look at it. Jonah, verse 9 and 10. Jonah answered to the sailor, "I am the Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them and asked, "What have you done?" Jonah know in his heart, God bring this storm to him. God bring this storm, wanting to turn him back to himself. But Jonah, his heart was sleeping and hardened, and he was so set his mind not to turn back to God, and he rather die. He rather for the sailor to throw him into the sea. Have you seen these people? We have seen many of these people, even in our midst. Our heart is so hardened, we don't want to follow what God's command us to do. We know when we not follow Him, we not obey to Him, the end result of it is in hell. But yet, our heart can be so stubborn and we continue not to repent not to ask for forgiveness and continue on in our wicked way, knowing clearly the end result will be sure, will be hell. Brother and sister, as your pastor, I always pray for all of us. Pray for the congregation. Let our heart not to be hardened toward God. Let our heart not be sleeping. Every Sunday preaching here, we preach so hard to you so that your heart may be quickened and awake, so that you are not continue harden your heart toward God. You see, when Jonah tell the sailor, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, and made the sea and the dry land, this terrified them, and they say, what have you done? Oh, this sailor have heard of this God, the God who part the sea, the God who brings fire from heaven, the God who raises the dead. There must be wonder. Why would you run from the God that is so powerful? What's wrong with you, Jonah? Don't you know how privileged and blessed to have Yahweh as your God, to have Jehovah as your God? Why aren't you follow what your God commands you to do? Today, I can ask the same question with all of us here. Why are you not keeping God's command? Why are you not following Him? And in your heart, you know who He is. And He is powerful, and He loves you, and He is mighty, and He is patient, and He is faithful. Yet we struggle to follow Him. And here is a sad thing. When Jonah turned away from God, Jonah had lost his testimony. Jonah has lost his most wonderful blessing, which is to be in God's blessing, in God's presence. However, when Jonah being thrown into the sea, the storm immediately stopped, and the sailor, amazing with the whole situation, they turn to God and worship Him. Read Jonah chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the man greatly feared the Lord, and they offer a sacrifice to the Lord and make vows to Him. They fear the Lord, because they witness what God can do. Today, do we fear the Lord? Do we have the reverent fear to our God? If we don't, that is why we don't give Him the sacrifice that He demands. We don't give Him the offering that He demands. It is a big contrast here. A prophet of God, a Jewish man, a chosen people of God, a holy priesthood of God, a very privileged people of God, know the truth from the scripture, knows all the great miracle stories of God, choose to disobey God and run from God, and rather die in the sea than turn back to God. But the sailor, who are not God's chosen people, who do not have the privilege to be God's people, witness how God disciplined His prophet, they learn to fear Him and worship Him. Let us pause and think about this. What is your heart condition with God this morning? Now, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, we can see the amazing supernatural work of God. The verse says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Please take notice here. The Lord provided a huge fish. The big fish did not come from nowhere. The fish is provided by God. I think at this point we should know that the miracle is not that Jonah survived from the belly of the fish. The miracle here is that a big fish provided by God to save Jonah from drowning. This big fish is not there to harm Jonah. This big fish actually provided by God to save Jonah. This word provide is the key word because it tells us that our God is sovereign, our God is in control, and He is powerful. He controls the storm, and He prepares a big fish to save Jonah. And the best news is that we are serving this mighty God who is sovereign over all things. Amen. How wonderful is that? Now we come to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah was in the fish. And his prayer is a thanksgiving prayer. When you read the prayer carefully, you will notice that Jonah quoted 11 different psalms. I believe at this moment Jonah has awakened from sleep. And he turned to God in thanksgiving and praise. And the Holy Spirit of God awakened all the scripture that Jonah has read and rooted in his heart. Could you see yourself praising God while you inside fish belly? Can you see that? That can only happen when you fill with the Holy Spirit of God. Jonah heart was awakened after he turned to God in repentance. That's why his prayer, quoted from 11 Psalms, all the scripture he has read before, awakened in him. The entire prayer was recorded in the past tense. In other words, after Jonah had been through the near-death experience inside the sea, now, he is in the belly of the fish. He recalled the entire experience in thanksgiving to God. What is that entire experience? The drowning experience. The near-death experience. Okay? Very often when we read this passage, we think that Jonah was in deep trouble being inside the fish belly because God being in this, but actually Jonah was safe inside the fish belly because God provided the big fish not to kill him, but to save him. Jonah was saved by God. Jonah was saved not from the big fish, but he was saved from drowning in the sea. Let me read Jonah chapter 2. Verse 1 to 4 to you. Okay. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish belly, and he said, I cry out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of the Sheol I cry, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your wave passes over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Verse 5 to 7. The water surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weed was wrapped around my head. I went down in the mooring of the mountain, the earth with its bar closed behind me forever, and when my soul fainted within me. So you see, Jonah was in the sea, right? Surrounded by the water. He is drowning. He felt like there is no more hope, and his soul fainted within me. Jonah was about to die, drowned into the sea. And Jonah knows it so well. It is God who brings the storm to him, because God wants to discipline him and to awaken his disobedient heart and his sleeping heart. You see, God disciplines those he loves. God caused the storm to discipline Jonah. It is a correction storm, a storm that gets Jonah's attention. The storm that tells Jonah, I love you too much to let you drift away from me, drift away from eternal life with me. Sometimes storm in our life can be a correction storm where God is telling you, turn back to me because I love you. It is a discipline storm where God wants to discipline his beloved children so that they can be transformed to be like Christ. And Jonah, at that moment, finally surrendered and cried out to God in repentance and turned to God for help. How do we know Jonah turned to God in repentance? Verse 4. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. You can see here. Okay? Yet I will look again toward your holy temple is the key verse. Where in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 30, King Solomon prayed to God on the day he completed building the temple of God. And he prayed to God, I am your servant, and the people of Israel belong to you. And so, whenever any of us look toward this temple and pray, answer from your home in heaven and forgive our sin. King Solomon pleaded with God to forgive the people of Israelite when they turn away from God, when they sin against God. So King Solomon pleaded that when these people, they look toward the holy temple of God and pray to him in repentance, God will forgive them. That's why, if you read the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed toward the holy temple, right? Nothing can stop him. He prayed, he in repentance, to ask God forgive the people of Israelite. Okay? We can also see that in many prophets, when they ask God for forgiveness in repentance, they look toward the holy temple of God. Because King Solomon make a plea with them. When the people of Israelite do that, God will forgive them. That's why today in Israel, many of the Jews pray at the wall, which is the temple, cry out to God for forgiveness. Okay. True number two, God saved those who call upon him. These verses are so beautiful written to express the helplessness of one person. Have you ever felt like you are drowning? You are sinking to the bottom of the sea? And you are locked inside the sea forever? It is a horrible feeling, right? And here Jonah reminded us, God will bring us out of the pit when we call upon him. You see, sins will only bring us down and down and down until we hit the rock bottom. When we run away from God by not doing anything, by not doing what his command us to do, our journey will only be going south until eventually hit the rock bottom. And that is the time where we must decide either we turn to God or we continue harden our heart and drown. Dear brother and sister, we only have one life to make it right with God. If we call upon Him, He will answer and He will save us from the pit. What is your decision this morning? I hope you make the right one. Truth number three, God show mercy to those who turn to Him. We can see at that moment where Jonah about to drown, he repented and turned to God. He surrenders himself to God by forsaking all the things that distract him from obeying God. The words, worthless idol, were actually means vain, empty, vanity. It does not necessarily mean a religion image or physical idol. Everything in this world is vanity. Anything distract us or stand between us and God is idol. Everything that is more important to us than God or substitute for God in our life, including pride, proudness, ambitions, greed, pleasure, comfort, if we place them more important than God, they are all idols. Jonah was praising God from inside the fish belly before he was even delivered from the fish belly, because his heart was awakened and he sees his problem. He renewed his vow with God by acknowledging God is his Lord. And God is his Lord of salvation. What's that mean? What Jonah is trying to say, you are the Lord of salvation. Meaning his life is completely dependent on God. His every breath is depending on God. His every being on earth and in eternity is in the hand of God. Today, do we have that understanding? Everything in you are in God's hand. Your very breath of life is from God. Everything is in the hand of God. Our very life is controlled by God. And that is a very powerful acknowledgement from Jonah, because Jonah finally completely surrendered himself to the will of God. God turned Jonah, who is with all the flaw, into his true, faithful messengers of peace. Brother and sister, it is not about how you serve God, but today, do we completely surrender to God, acknowledge Him for who He is, knowing Him, have the full control of our life, or you will just continue run away from God and pursue what your heart desire instead of God? Dear friend, where are you this morning? Are you running away from God? Are you struggle in the bottom of the sea? Are you still do not know God? Would you want to have this Almighty God in your life? God is here this morning. Let us come to Him, turn to Him, and tell Him our deepest desire. For those who run away from God or struggle with God, let's not struggle anymore. Don't run anymore. Come. Come and make right with Him. He so loves you, and He's waiting for you with an open arm. Amen. Let us pray. I give you a moment, and you also can speak to God. And if you need prayer after this, please feel free to come forward, and we would like to pray together with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Let your word quicken our heart. Let your word quicken those hearts which are sleeping right now, which is hardened by themselves. Those who run away from you, let them turn back to you instead of wait until the calamity that you will bring forth to them. Let them turn to you now before they have to suffer the consequences, before you have to use your rod to discipline them. Father, quicken our brother's heart here. I pray the Holy Spirit will work in each one of our heart. He knows everything in your heart. You can't run away from God. You cannot continue to run because you can never outrun him. Father, I ask, Lord, you will speak to each one of us this morning in the area that needed to be for your touch, in the area that needed your conviction. Lord, for those who still do not know you, Lord, help them to turn to you and surrender themselves to you so that they too may come to know you and have eternal life with you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.